Welcome back to our deep dive. We've been unpacking some pretty interesting ideas about the ego.
Yeah.
And its impact on our lives. Mm-hmm. It's complex, but understanding it can be empowering.
Like shining a light on this invisible force that's been shaping our thoughts and actions, maybe even holding us back.
Exactly. And now that we're aware of it, we can start to shift that narrative.
I'm ready to jump into the steps for taming the ego. First one's acknowledging our limitations.
Right.
And that can be tough, especially when we're constantly pushed to strive for perfection.
It's ingrained in us, isn't it? That need to be right to have all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
But what if true strength lies in recognizing that we don't know everything? Mm-hmm. That we're always works in progress, constantly learning and evolving.
It's a humbling thought, but also liberating in a way. It takes the pressure off.
When we cling to that belief that we're always right, we close ourselves off. We miss out on opportunities to learn, to expand our perspectives, to grow.
The article also talks about learning from those who are more experienced.
Right. Finding mentors and immersing ourselves in environments where we can learn from the best.
Think about your own network. Are you surrounded by people who challenge you?
Mm-hmm.
Who push you to step outside your comfort zone? Those relationships can be invaluable.
It's like iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
We need those people who can help us see our blind spots, who inspire us to reach higher.
And don't underestimate the power of surrounding yourself with people who are smarter than you.
Right.
It can be humbling, yes, but also stimulating. It pushes you to up your game.
Mm. It's interesting how the article highlights the importance of mentoring others.
Yeah.
As a way to control the ego. It seems counterintuitive at first. How do you see that working?
When we mentor others, we shift our focus outwards.
Right.
We're not preoccupied with our own progress. We're invested in the growth of someone else.
And in that process of guiding someone else, we might gain a deeper understanding of ourselves.
Absolutely. When we have to articulate our knowledge to someone else, it forces us to clarify our own thinking.
Mm.
We might even identify areas where we still have gaps.
Right. In our understanding.
It also fosters connection and community, which can be an antidote to the ego's isolation.
Speaking of challenging the ego, the article also delves into embracing failure.
Ooh, it's a tough one.
It is.
We're conditioned to view failure as something to be avoided.
Right. But the article argues that it's actually essential.
Right.
For success.
Think about it. Every setback, every mistake offers valuable data.
It's a chance to learn to adapt.
Hmm.
The problem is our ego gets in the way it wants to protect us from that discomfort.
So you make excuses or just give up to avoid that feeling.
Right. The key is to detach our sense of self-worth from our failures.
Okay.
It's not about who we are. It's about the lessons we extract from that experience.
How can we shift to see failure as an opportunity?
One strategy is to reframe them as experiments.
Hmm.
What can I learn? What adjustments can I make? And remember to celebrate even the smallest victories.
But what about criticism? That can be a major trigger.
It can be tough, especially when it feels personal. But most criticism, even if poorly delivered, comes from a place of wanting to see us improve.
So it's about separating the message from the messenger.
Exactly. Focus on the substance, not the emotions surrounding it.
Okay.
Is there any truth to this criticism? Can I use this feedback to become better?
And if the answer is yes, then it's not an attack, it's a gift.
Exactly. When we view criticism like this, it loses its power to wound our ego.
Okay.
Instead, it becomes a tool for self-improvement.
This all ties back to adopting a growth mindset where we're constantly striving to learn and evolve rather than getting stuck.
That's the essence of controlling the ego, isn't it? It's recognizing that our self-image is a story we tell ourselves.
Right.
And we have the power to rewrite it, to choose a narrative of growth, resilience, and learning.
I'm starting to see how this connects, but where do we go from here? How do we translate this into tangible action and change? We've been exploring these practical strategies, and it's striking how they all seem to point to a more fulfilling way of being.
Yeah, it's almost like by taming the ego, we unlock a whole new level of human potential.
The article makes a strong case for that. It talks about altruism, compassion, genuine confidence, and even greater happiness as a result of controlling the ego.
And it's not just about feeling good. It's about a shift in how we relate to ourselves and the world.
So what does that shift actually look like? What happens when we loosen the ego's grip?
Imagine a life where you're less driven by proving yourself, defending your image, constantly seeking validation. What would you do with all that freed up energy?
It's fascinating to think about, would I be more focused on my relationships, on contributing to my community, on pursuing passions that light me up?
It's about aligning your actions with your values, not the ego's need for more. The article specifically mentions a deeper sense of altruism and compassion.
Makes sense. When we're not so caught up in our own heads, we have more space to connect with others, to empathize, to offer support without expecting anything in return.
And that connection is fulfilling. It brings a sense of purpose and meaning beyond ego-driven achievements.
The article also talks about a different kind of confidence emerging when we control the ego. It's not about arrogance or bravado, but a quieter, more grounded self-assurance.
Think of it as confidence that comes from knowing yourself, accepting your strengths and weaknesses, no longer needing to prove anything.
That resonates with me. It's like the difference between projecting an image of confidence and actually embodying it.
And that authenticity is magnetic. People are drawn to those who are comfortable in their own skin, not trying to fit a mold or live up to expectations.
So by letting go of the ego's need to control, we gain agency and freedom.
Exactly. That freedom allows us to tap into our creativity, to take risks, to pursue passions without fear holding us back.
Like we're opening ourselves up to possibilities that were always there but hidden.
And as we step into that space, we might find that happiness, genuine lasting happiness, is not a destination but a byproduct of living in alignment with ourselves.
This has been eye-opening. We've delved into the ego, exposed its pitfalls, and discovered the potential in managing it.
It's a journey worth taking, a journey of self-discovery and growth that can lead to a richer, more meaningful life.
If you're ready to embark on that journey, remember this. If the ego is an illusion, a story we tell ourselves, then who are you truly beneath those narratives? What lies at the core of your being beyond the masks? Take some time to reflect on that. It's a question that can guide you.
And remember, you are not alone. There are resources, practices, and communities to support you.
We hope this deep dive provided you with insights and inspiration. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep growing.